What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Small State Big Takes, presented by House Enterprise. We have a message from our friends over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Whether it's a college football bet, an NFL bet, or all types of sports bets, the DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. If you use the code SSBT and bet $5, you can instantly score up to $200 in bonus bets. Listen to the episode to hear more information about this DraftKings promo, but if you're a new customer, head on down to the DraftKings Sportsbook, use the code SSBT, and instantly score those bonus bets. Enjoy the episode, and remember, the house always wins.
Yo, yo, yo! It's the one true host, final podcast of my 20s, had to do it with that hand. Shout out to Josh, I love you, bro. Rules, yo!
Somewhere in the darkness, we are set for surprises, even battle.
Let's go.
We're a team.
I appreciate you guys listening to this podcast for real.
Mess with us.
My brother Ed Hand.
If we stand as one,
Ed Hand is for you, bro.
Nothing to fear.
Check my boy
we'll
G-Baby.
Come
on.
And we'll stay right here.
Let's go.
Time
it's
after time, that's how
why
it
the fuck
will
God cares?
Be. Just you and me.
Woo!
I will be with you. We will go where our dreams come true. All the times that we have been through, you will always be my best friend.
Oh, welcome back to Small State of Big Takes. This is episode 259, I think. Don't hold me to that. That's just what I think. Steven Scott's here, but sorry, we don't get a little opening take because we got very special guests here. Ed Hand is back in action with a little post Red Sox season, whatever you want to call it.
Post-mortem.
Yeah, I don't really know what to call it, but you're here and we're happy to have you back. Unfortunately, Josh's not with us tonight. It's past his bedtime. But that's okay. We'll hold it down for him, and I'm sure he's going to have a blast listening to this tomorrow early in the morning because he said he's got to get up mad early too. So we'll make sure that he enjoys it.
I just want to say that I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited Steve Scott's back.
Hell yeah, bro.
You know, like I wasn't aware that you had left, but I'm glad that you have come back.
Just for you, Ed. You know, it's been a while. It's been like a couple weeks I haven't been on. Just had a lot of shit going on. Last week, I unceremoniously did not even give a warning why I wasn't here. I just didn't show up. I felt bad about that. But you know what? We're back. And most importantly, we're back with our boy Ed Hand, my favorite Red Sox fucking dude on Twitter. That, like, you know, there are some people on Twitter, the Red Sox, like there's Red Sox Twitter, Patriots Twitter, all this bullshit.
Yeah,
when I see
yeah.
an Ed Hand tweet, like this is coming, like this is my personal thought. I see Ed Hand, I respect the take, and it's always like, it always makes me think. I'm like, Ed Hand, that guy just gets it. I don't know what the fuck his deal is. That guy just understands what's up. So shout out to Ed Hand, one of my favorite Twitter guys. You think you know people from Twitter because you're on it so often. Like you feel you know people. Like I've never met you in person, but I feel like I know Ed Hand by his tweets, and I love this guy's tweets. So shout out to my boy Ed Hand.
Amen.
Appreciate
to that.
That, Steve.
Ed Hand 89, right?
It's what, like Ed, I think I've changed it a few times. I think I'm just stuck at Ed Hand 89 or something like that now. Follow me there. I'm doing a new podcast with Andrew Parker, who I met covering the Woo Sox this year. We're calling it To the Show We Go. It's just interviews with players that are kind of either on the cusp of making the majors, just got here to the majors, or a little bit lower in the system. We talked to we had Rob Bradford on yesterday. We've got Christopher Troy, who, if you're not following him on Twitter, the dude is just he's like a double-A pitcher, but he's just like fascinating, just like a really interesting guy. Roomed with Marcelo Meyer and has all kinds of like interesting stories. Currently pitching in the Arizona Fall League, but it's been a lot of fun doing that. A lot of work. This is actually my third show of the day I'm doing. We had Cole Cottom, who used to be a catcher in the Red Sox system, who since he was getting deep ball this year, we talked to him. And then we had a lefty in Salem named Noah Dean on this morning. So we're just hammering out as many of these as we can, hitting the ground running. But I'm really happy to be here. And I think I've said this to you guys before, but I want it on the record. This is my favorite show to guest on. Like, I love it. You guys are awesome. Like, it's like a good group of guys. I had a buddy I used to work for Amazon, and I had a buddy who was from Cranston, Rhode Island. And I don't know if it's just like a Rhode Island baseball fan thing, but you guys all kind of remind me of him, and like, I miss that dude. So shout outs to my buddy Marcus, but I'm happy to be here.
Oh, Ed. You're the best, Ed. No,
You wonder why you keep getting invites back. It's because you say shit like that.
Let's all just have a nice big circle jerk now.
Let's go. If only Josh was here. Finish us off. Ed, how soon until you get a Stephen Scott interview? That's my question.
So we actually got – it was funny. Me and Parker, we met covering the Woo Sox this year. And last game of the year, we were like, okay, we have to get as many of these people lined up as we can. And I wasn't really sure how to do this. Like, I'm not good at approaching like people that I've never really talked to, and like, you're there but you don't talk to all of these guys. Parker's much better at this than I am, and he was like, well, just go up, look, Stephen Scott and Nico Cavadas are sitting right there, like, let's just go ask them. And I was like, we could just do that. And he was like, yeah, let's go do that. So he got Stephen Scott's number, I got Nico Cavadas's. So we're really hoping to get him on. Like, that's a quality guy. That's a Vandy player, great name. I don't know if he's a junior or the third. I'm assuming he's the third, and you're his father, though.
I must be.
Oh, and my God. Sure you're very proud of him.
I'm so proud of that guy, man. He's as my son, as my father, whatever. Great guy. I'm very proud of him. Every time I see a Stephen Scott tweet, too, I get so excited. Like, I have to retweet. My goal in life now is to meet this dude and just shake his hand and say, dude, nice name.
Thank you for making us proud.
You got to give him a shirt, too.
I will buy his jersey. Like 100%. I've been waiting for this
jersey
moment.
Jersey swap.
Dude, oh, it'll be legendary.
Oh, the jersey swap would be sweet.
Give him like the plumber uniform. You know, yes. You guys can swap off.
That's a good idea.
Steve Scott plumbing shirt.
Do we know his middle name? Is he an also an O?
That'd be crazy. I mean, we can say he is. I mean, like, I don't think there's any consequences for me lying and saying, like, yeah, no, his middle name's Orion or something like that.
Let's see. I'm looking up right now. Yeah, that's a great idea, though, to give him a shirt. I'll bring a shirt to a game. Oh, that's that next year. That's the vibe.
It's got to happen.
Oh, my God. If he's in the Woo Sox next year, that is the goal.
I mean, you could probably, just with what you guys do here, I bet you could get like a day press pass if you wanted to do that swap off with him beforehand and be like, hey, come on the show. Like, that'd be somebody you guys should try to get just to have the Steve Scotts together.
We really got to, like,
I want that so bad.
Quit slacking and make that happen.
Well, yeah. It's like, it's funny because I don't know about how you guys were beginning of the season, but I think around September, I just got so burnt out on recording and talking Red Sox. And I think that was when everything fell apart again. That was when the wheels really fell off the tires. And then I think Bloom getting fired was kind of the death knell. Like, that was it. Like, It's weird for me, though, because I always watched the last game, and I did it this year, but I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it one bit. Like, how was it for you guys?
Pretty similar, dude.
Yeah, from a tweeting coverage standpoint, it's like when Bloom got canned, that was like we reacted to it, had a lot of conversations with random people about it for like a week, and then it was just like, well, this team stinks, and we have pretty much no direction at this point. And I mean, it's not like we're strictly talking Red Sox all year, so we weren't really burnt out from that perspective, but it was just like the interest on just talking about them was gone after Bloom got canned, and there's nothing to talk about. They're not competitive, they're not winning games, it's not like anything interesting is happening. Tristan Casas got hurt, so like, what really is there to talk about?
And the cycle is exhausting too, of just like, and again, the reaction to the Heim situation was one thing, but then it became like, oh, Mike Hazen, is he the guy? And it's like, just kind of, that's a Red Sox Twitter like in the real world, like that was never really a thing, I feel like. No. And it just kind of perpetuated, and then it right. just rolls, and then it's like, oh, it's not a thing. So that's where I kind of got tapped out, where I was like, all right, we're not going to know what the future of this team looks like for probably a couple months. So it's tough to speculate, but.
Yeah, I don't even, like, I'm terrible at predicting executives, or really, like, I never heard of Chaim Bloom when they hired him initially, and then, like, you go, like, you know, for me, like, I always try to be like, okay, well, this is what they're gonna do, this is gonna work, and then until, like, that inevitably, like, in this case, didn't kind of backfire on them, but I just have no idea what the plan is moving forward. I don't know if they're gonna, like, try to bring in somebody like a John Daniels who has lots of experience. I don't know if they're gonna, you know, go with like a Sam Fold, or like, I'm hearing a lot about Kim Ung, which wouldn't make I don't have an issue with her. It just wouldn't make that much sense to me, just because it's like a more polished Chaim. So if you're going away from that, like, why would you bring in someone with the same style? And that's not a knock. I think she did a really good job with the Marlins this year, but it's just like, I just don't know what they're looking for. I think it's a little weird with the Cora situation there. Like, have you ever heard of that, with like a manager getting to pick their general manager or whatever the title is?
No, but I'm all for it, because they clearly, like, they made it work in 2021. You know, they kind of just rode that wave of momentum all year, but you could tell they butt heads. They didn't agree. Cora's like, what do you got me working with? This was his best bullpen by far. And even at that, half the people that you thought should be in the bullpen were in the rotation, and you had Chris Martin and Kenley Jansen back there to hold it down. But outside of that, you needed a career year from Winkowski and a bunch of other pieces to even put something together. I think Cora was never happy with what he had to work with, especially because it kind of seemed like Chaim Bloom valued versatility over just the actual ability to play a position, and the defense really suffered. And we saw moves from that today. I'm happy that they're, you know, I hate seeing people lose their job in the professional sports business. But I'm happy to see the Red Sox are making moves on the coaching staff, not just running it back with the same guys. Like, I don't know, the Yankees do every year. Like, they're making moves about it. Dave Bush is gone. Carlos Fabelis is gone. So now you have a new infield coach. You have a new third base coach. You're going to have a new pitching coach. Moves are being made, and that's encouraging. I just don't know who's going to actually be running the team to get good players in, and that is still concerning.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you mean. Like, you don't root for people to lose their jobs. Like, that's I kind of hate, like, that whole, like, fire.
Unless
so
it's
and
John
so.
Farrell. I was not a John Farrell guy.
Same, actually. But, like, I cannot tell you why I couldn't stand John Farrell. I couldn't stand John Farrell, and I couldn't stand Josh Beckett. Those are, like, for whatever reason, the two guys throughout Red Sox history I just haven't cared for.
John Farrell. Right away with Josh Beckett, too? Or was it just, like, after all the, like, I don't know, once we got to know him? Or did you always kind of not really like Beckett?
I went from being kind of indifferent towards him to just, because I also, like, I like Lowell a lot, like, so I didn't have an issue with that trade. But I didn't like his attitude. I kind of thought that he's
arrogant. It's like, he's like smug, and but man, he was so fucking good. It was hard.
Oh, in the postseason, he was very good. Like, I'm not going to pretend like he wasn't good at it. Like, he's a very good pitcher, but I just didn't like him for whatever reason.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for you guys, but like at our age, at that time, you know, it was like middle school, high school. You just, like, you didn't really pay attention to that stuff too much. You just watched him pitch, and you're like, just get me to October and give Josh Beckett the ball, baby.
Yeah, no, it was much more like, guy throw ball fast, guy strike lots of guys out, nice.
Nasty curveball. I like this guy.
Yeah. Now watching the post-game interview being like, wow, he was a dick to that reporter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not something you see on the back of like a baseball card or something, like, was a dick to reporter this many times.
Yeah. You should have that. I like that, though.
Although, it's funny. Like, with Feblis, I think that's the one that I was like, and I don't like saying this, he's been in the organization for a while, but like, third base coach was also his job for like the defense for the infield. And you can make whatever excuse you want. You can say like, oh, they didn't have their normal shortstop there. Well, Raffy Devers regressed. Tristan Casas somehow regressed despite never playing a full season in the majors. Second base regressed, like Christian Arroyo when he was healthy. And I mean, Manuel Valdez isn't a great defensive player, but you know, like, it's just like the infield was. I don't think I have seen an infield that made me miss Todd Walker, but I missed Todd Walker at second base this year.
There's a name.
There's a name drop.
Todd broke Walker my brain for a second. I was like, wait, did he just Todd Walker?
2003? Just
casually dropping that.
Damn. Todd Walker was, he was okay, wasn't he? He didn't do
He was a good hitter. Yeah. Great hitter. That 2003 team was like stacked, but the defense was never like, he's not quite as bad as like Emmanuel Valdez was this year. And I've heard he's going to be going to play some winter ball and working on that this offseason. So I think like, hopefully he can figure that out, because the bat's good. Like, that kid can rake. He's like one. He's also like, I'm taller than him, and any player that I am taller than, I'm automatically going to root for. There aren't very many. It's like him and Sidon Rafaela and maybe Jose Altuve. I think that's it. But
Rafaela is short. I couldn't believe that.
Oh my god, though, he's so good defensively. Like, just watching him play center field in AAA, and why, like, he just seamlessly moves over to shortstop. He can do both. Like, if you told me he was going to be the second baseman next year, I'd be like, all right, get him some regular at bats. Cool.
How do you think he's going to end up being in the pros?
Oh, it's a good question. Because I think a lot of people look at like his stature and his swing and they see Mookie Betts. And I don't know, like, I think that that's a really unfair comparison to make to anybody. Like, you're saying somebody's Mookie Betts, like, that's, there's Mookie Betts and there's like every other player in baseball. Like, he's just an absolute stud, and there's a reason people were so pissed off about him getting traded. I see a little bit more of like a better version of Kike Hernandez. Very versatile, very good defender, extremely athletic. You can kind of put him anywhere. There's a lot of swing and miss in his game, though. He's got this kind of weird skill set where his hand-eye coordination is friggin' unbelievable. Like, he swings at pitches he has no business swinging at, and he hits them. The problem with that is that you make weak contact, and you end up, like, grounding out to the pitcher or something. But also, like, what he is now and what he's going to be in 4 years, like, they're different things. Like, he's improved at every level he's been at. Not everybody is going to be drawing, you know, like, is going to have an on-base percentage over 400. Like, somebody like Javier Baez, like, he kind of sucks now, but there was a period when he was a really aggressive hitter, and it didn't matter because the defense, the power, like, he hit, like, 270. You can't, like, but that's why I'm saying also he's not really Mookie Betts, because the eye isn't quite the same, but you know, things change too. And he's talented. He's really talented. But I see him as like kind of like an improved Kike Hernandez right now.
All right, that's a good answer. Cause I you can't tell, like, for me, I really couldn't tell because his stats look sick coming up. You know, the WuSox stats were sick. Then you see him play, you see his agility, the way he moves his body. It's like, dude, this guy, he looks like he could be a superstar. I don't know. Like he shows the flash. I don't know.
Yeah, no, the talent, he's an unusual talent. Like, he really is just, like, a very athletically gifted. Especially, and also just, like, the power that he gets despite his size. It is kind of Altuve-like. And that's cool to see. There's another I'm curious what you guys think of Willier Abreu, because that's a guy that I think kind of slid under the radar most of the season, and then he came up and just knocked the crap out of the ball. What do you guys think with him?
I liked him a lot. I liked his skill set all around. He seems like the kind of guy that could stick around. You know, I like him. I think he's got that power too. He reminds me of Bobby Abreu. R.I.P.
That's what my dad said about him. Also, that's interesting. No way. You know who I get the vibe? I get kind of Trot Nixon vibes from him, and that's not a bad thing. But you know, like, left-handed hitting right fielder, kind of gritty. Maybe not like the guy that you look at and you're like, oh, he's gonna be starting the All-Star game, but he's also somebody that like comes up and you're like, oh, he's gonna put up a good at bat. Like, he's gonna work around deep. He does the little things well, and that's always something that, like, you know, like, I feel like we haven't seen that a lot of guys that are just good ball players, like just solid.
It's tough to like, because you're right. I want to be excited about him, but he's the guy, and I feel like we fall into the trap all the time, right? Not everybody that's going to be a top prospect that was on everyone's radar to be like, oh, he's a stud, needs to be on the, you know what I mean? Like, there are guys that, like a Trot, I feel like he's a good example, actually, of just like, kind of worked his way up, and he was a great, he was a franchise cornerstone. Whether it was sexy or not, it wasn't. It was not. Right. But like,
solid.
But
the opposite. Guys.
Yeah. Some would say Trot Nixon was a sex symbol.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Probably right, actually. That damn same hat every game, just like the dirtiest hat you've ever seen. But but no, I think Abreu. Yeah, I like him a lot. It's just tough to like speculate of how. I don't know. I think he kind of overperformed what he's actually going to be, obviously, in that short spurt.
You don't think he's a 330
fourth outfielder? Yeah.
How about
he's a Hall of Famer? That's what if he keeps that.
Did
up.
You see this Avant page? It's all red. I mean, just put him in Cooperstown.
Yeah,
just do it now. No need to play out the next 10 years. Just put him there.
I'd argue they have to. The Padres have to give more than just Juan Soto to get him at this point.
Yeah, no, we definitely need Xander Bogaerts back, and they pay the whole contract. Yeah.
The Brewers are trying to get him. Okay, give me Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff. Maybe we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I think Jackson Scherrio, like, they need some youth with that, too. Got to give some youth to get back some youth. Yeah.
So big on Abreu.
What if would you be happy if Abreu had, like, a Cole Calhoun-style career?
Yeah, that's a good comp, actually. That's, like, another one of those kind of, like, good but not great type guys. I mean, I think is Calhoun lefty or righty? He's lefty. Yeah,
I thought he was going to be a goat. I thought he was the next fucking guy that was going to be sticking around. He stuck around, but I was thinking
he played this year. Yeah, yeah. I think he had to, like, got like some first base reps or something for
he
Cleveland
was the first
somehow.
Base. He was batting cleanup behind.
Yeah, Jose, like, where'd that come from? Is it like? I mean, I guess like Cleveland's offense kind of fell apart by the end of the year. But
that's kind of a testament to where that team.
Nailers could only do so much.
I know. Yeah, the Nailer gang.
I love Naylor. Like, honestly, like that's a guy that would be fun to see in Boston, to see what he would do here with the monster and everything.
That'd be awesome.
Talking about guys with personalities too in post games.
I was gonna say his emotion.
He's a little tapped. I like it.
I love it.
Yeah. Need some of that psycho, you know, energy in the clubhouse again.
Yeah.
Who's
the last like pure psycho the Red Sox had? Was it Papelbon or was there somebody like in 2000?
Joe Kelly. Maybe someone.
Joe Kelly was crazy.
Kelly was that's some full-on psycho energy there. Yeah.
Cassis is kind of weird, but I wouldn't call him nuts though.
No, he's just like he's just a little out there. He's himself. He doesn't bother anybody.
Yeah, Cassis, that is a guy that's just comfortable in his own shoes. Like, just by like that July, like watching him after July was the most fun I've had watching a Red Sox hitter since Mookie was here.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And with like another year under his belt, like that's going to be fun to see. Like, that's somebody that I hope they find a way. Like, if you were to, I hope they find a way to extend him, and I hope they find a way to extend Mayo. Like, just so we don't have to be having these debates about like, oh, are they going to give him a contract? Like, I can't.
And it's going to turn into the Whit Merrifield style shit of, okay, we got to trade him now while he's still worth something. If the Red Sox still suck in a couple of years, you know?
Do you think they're going to do that with, like, what's going to happen with Verdugo? They have, like, six outfielders or something right now, and most of them are left-handed. Like, I don't think you can keep Duran, Verdugo, Abreu, Yoshida, all of them here. So you got to move somebody. Like, you got to think it's Verdugo, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but I'm all aboard calling it quits on the Verdugo experiment and letting someone else go get someone. I have no names in mind, so I'm just making this up, but just get a back end starter for him that can just be there. And not like, don't get an old washed up Corey Kluber guy that's already hurt, whatever. Go get another Nick Pivetta type that can just eat innings for you and be there. You can count on him. I think that's what they need more than anything. And Verdugo, he's got 1 or 2 years left on his deal, I think.
It's 1 year left.
Yeah, so you're not going to get too much for him on his own anyway. So just go get that, or maybe even another bullpen piece, something like that. Yeah. That's kind of, and then like give Abreu a shot, give Duran another shot, because you know I eat my shorts. I was ready to drive Duran to TF Green 2 years ago. I said, let me know when and where. I'll pick him up and take him there. And this past season. Made me eat those words. He was freaking awesome. So I'm down with giving him another shot. Abreu, see what he can do. But Verdugo, I mean,
We just want to pay him, right? He's probably going to command a decent sized contract.
He's going to get a Benintendi type deal, I think. And I'm not interested for 12 home runs and a 280 average, maybe with a pretty average outfield glove. I'm all set.
Well, especially with you have somebody like Rafaela that's already Gold Glove caliber right now. I don't think that's a hot take to say that his defense is ridiculous. And Abreu's fine. He's got the arm for right field. He can figure it out. You don't really need Verdugo for anything other than just his floor is a 280 hitter, and that's fine. But he's an outfielder. He's been here for a while. His work ethic has been questionable. It's not anything personal with him. I don't think he's a bad player, but there just isn't really a spot. And like you were saying, they have other needs that are quite a bit greater than that. And, somebody like Abreu is controllable, but it's hard. So for a guy that's only had a month, it's hard to be this guy can be your everyday right fielder. Give me a starting pitcher. Maybe you can swap Verdugo for a veteran, and this guy's a free agent, so he wouldn't be the guy, but somebody like Kyle Gibson of the Orioles, who not the greatest pitcher in the world. Ideally he's a number four or number five, but he also threw 192 innings this year and he won 15 games for them. There wasn't anybody like that for the Red Sox this year that you could depend to come out for and throw six innings even. Bayo had a couple of runs where he was good. He just got gassed by the end of the season. That's kind of what I'm hoping they end up doing on that. But, you kind of need to have a GM also to make trades. So we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
when I think back to this season, I'll always think of it as the season that we had not a single pitcher that I just could chill and think that we'd win the game with. Not once. Maybe Chris Sale for a stretch two. Bayo, yeah. But otherwise, rolling out with Cutter Crawford, I never felt fucking happy. What are we doing?
I think the start to Nick Pivetta's season really tainted how we viewed him, because he was damn solid for three, four months. He was really solid there. But again, maybe a lot of that was just he was piggybacking out of the bullpen so you can take it seriously or whatever. But yeah, I agree. There was not just one guy that you, from start to finish anyways, you were just that guy's going to go give me six and let up two and strike out five.
The only guy that I really just felt no stress when he was pitching was Chris Martin. And he's a reliever. Although that was the best relief pitcher season, I think, since Koji Uehara. That was insane. I'm glad they have him for another year. Please, more Chris Martin. But yeah, they didn't have any starters that were real. Even Bayo. And yes, he had some runs, but he also, had that game in Oakland where he gave up three home runs. Daytime Bayo is a very different pitcher than nighttime Bayo.
No, that's a good point. Thinking about Pivetta, though, I think the highlight of the season from a Red Sox perspective for me was that Pivetta relief performance against the A's. Just thinking about his season, that was, I remember, I did not experience the excitement this year much watching the Red Sox, but that game was please let him go back out. And obviously the season was still in flux. They weren't quite in contention, but they weren't out of it in the way that they ultimately were. But I think that's my favorite moment from the season. So shout out to Nick Pivetta for that.
That was cool. Yeah, it's I feel like the Red Sox have a lot of number five starters right now. They don't have a number one or a number two, but I think Bayo's a good number three. Sale, you can treat as a number four until he gets hurt. But then they have Pivetta, Crawford, Houck. You could say Whitlock, even though I don't know if his body can handle being a starter at this point. Those are all guys that you can be yeah, that's my number five starter. That's fine. But you can't build a rotation that way. They need those arms up front. And that's the hardest to get, is there anybody that you guys have in mind for you'd want to see them get?
Yep.
What's the pulse on this? I feel you guys are the voice of the people here. Who do the people want?
I don't want to speak for them. I'll just get this out of the way first. I want to trade for and extend Corbin Burns, and I don't really care what it takes.
Let's go.
I think the only prospect, and this is also a hot take, that I wouldn't give up for him is Kyle Teal. Everybody else I think I would consider.
Yeah, Teal. I mean, Teal is just hard to get catching, not even just catching prospects, catching catchers that are like that. It's very hard to get.
What I mean. And I'm excited about Roman Anthony. I'm excited about Marcelo Meyer. I just like, I don't know the last top prospect here that has really panned out. Maybe Mookie Betts.
Cassis, I guess, if yeah, like Cassis his first year. Cassis and Bale have been pretty good.
Yeah, that's fair. But like at the same time, I view this, I had the same opinion back when they traded for Chris Sale. Yoel Moncada was the biggest can't miss prospect we've seen in how long. Michael Kopech was throwing 102 at age 19. How are you going to trade both these guys for Chris Sale? Well, that ended up working out pretty damn well, if I do say so. So, you know, if we have to give up one of those two, Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony, for a Corbin Burns package, I'm all for it. If they find out a way to work out an extension.
Yeah, I think the extension that's my dream. Part. No, I don't think you're wrong. And I think that too, I think it's really hard to acquire like a real frontline starter through free agency. You just, because most of the time they just don't make it that far. They either get traded and extended like Luis Castillo, or there's just something horribly dysfunctional about the organization they're coming from. That's how they make it there. Or, you know, it's like Jared Cole, where it's just kind of a freak happening. But what do you guys think of Yamamoto? Because I think that's kind of an interesting one, because he's, you know, Japanese pitcher and everything. But, you know, you look at the numbers, you look, he throws 99, he's got that splitter, and he's only 25. You don't really see talent like that hit free agency. But then you also think about the size and the adjustment to the States. Like, how do you guys feel about him?
I would throw the bag. I would drop it. And again, it's one of those things, right, where there aren't a lot of great free agent options, as you kind of alluded to before, for like pitching specifically. So it's kind of a, I don't know what the right number is. That's what's tricky about it, right? Where it's a question mark. You've seen so many guys come over that have not worked out. Think even Kiigawa. I feel like he's a great example of like, and just never clicked, right? That was a nightmare. So, and I know there have been some recent success stories, and he looks like the real deal, and he's broken records set by Darvish in terms of, I feel like it was consecutive seasons with a certain amount of wins and K's. So it's just like stuff like that where he's been consistent. So I think he's going to be quite good. And obviously Senga,
Senga was much better than I thought he was going to be. Exactly. I thought he was going to be good. Start, I didn't think he was going to be this good.
Yeah. I wish we got him.
I know.
Yeah, I think like it's easy to look back at that and be like, why did they get Kluber? Just throw the extra money at Senga.
Seriously. Yeah.
But with Yamo, what do you think the right number is though? Because I feel like I've seen projection like, okay, maybe 7 years, 180, I feel like is what I've kind of seen.
Hearts, I think that you have to go 8 years, maybe have an opt out in there, like 200 million, something like that. Like that's not something I'm going to pretend to be an expert on, because you also have to pay the team that posts them. So that gets expensive. I don't think that the posting fee counts against the cap. And I don't think they're going to be caring about the cap at all this year. Apathy is the worst thing you can have from your fan base. They need to compete this year. And that's one of those ways that you bring in that excitement. But I haven't heard from you, Stephen Scott Jr. Who do you want them to bring in for a pitcher?
One man can save this team. Other than Corbin Burns. I'd love to have Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns, we can agree, is the ace. Who's the number two?
Number two, if the Red Sox got Corbin Burns as number one and then Shane Bieber as number two, I swear to God.
That's an interesting one.
Bieber, I'm still in. I believe in him so much.
Spider-Tack merchant.
No doubt he was him and Garrett Cole, but I love Shane Bieber. I believe in him as an ace. Mike Mussina type. That's my guy. I love Bieber so much.
That's a good comp, actually. The thing with Bieber that I worry about a little bit is the arm, but that's one that, like, I've heard Burns a bunch. I've heard, like, you know, like Aaron Nola, Blake Snell, guys like that. Yeah, Bieber's one that I haven't really heard that much about. That's kind of it, especially if Cleveland decides, like, okay, we need to rebuild. Like, that could viably, or if they just even want, like, a hitter. Like,
if the Red Sox go after one dude, I'd be in. Like, if the Red Sox got one person that was kind of cool like that, and like, I would be in. But right now, I feel like they don't give a rat's ass. I can't stand that feeling. The whole year I had that feeling. Kike was the shortstop. Like, this is some weirdo shit. Like, this is not a contending team. Like, you can't even lie to us like that. Like, I was out all year. The vibe was off from day one Oliver and I were freezing our asses off at fucking Fenway Park, March 30th. Like, and you could feel it in the air. Like, the love wasn't there this year. I don't know.
There were things that I liked about this team. I'm not going to pretend that I didn't enjoy parts of it. Especially up until September, it was like, you know what? This team is, there's been some nice developments. Justin Turner was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And they just imploded. I'm not sure I've seen a collapse that bad since like 2011, like where the team just like lost the will to keep fighting.
They kind of collapsed last year too. Like after the, and I think the trade deadline had something to do with it both times. There was just no commitment to either side. And when you don't commit and you don't show your team that you believe in them, they're just like, all right, well, I guess like the motivation's gone and we're tired. So see you next year. It's just like, damn, that really sucks.
Yeah. And you want to believe that these guys are going to be like, you know, it's like, oh, they're professionals. They don't care. But like, I mean, I think the results speak for themselves. Like and listen, there are things that Chaim Bloom did that I think he did a really good job with, particularly in like the minor league stuff. But boy, like he was just too, I don't know if principled is the right word, stubborn, whatever you call it. He could not pull the trigger on a deal if he didn't feel like he was pulling one over on them. And, you know, like there are teams that like, you know, like resources are limited. If you're the Rays or like, I don't know, the Royals or something like that, the Red Sox aren't the team you do that with. Sometimes you just need to make a trade to show that you're invested.
That's true.
And, you know, like, I think that ultimately is what cost him his job. He bet on the injured guys getting hurt, like coming back at full strength. Like, that's kind of a risk, too. Like, I think I talked myself into, like, okay, that's going to work. Whitlock's going to be at full power, like, and all this. And it just, no, didn't happen.
Story, none of that shit. Yeah, you knew that was going to fully work out.
Okay, I think we have to take a quick break. We got to resend the link, and then we can wrap up.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Yo, it's the one true host.
Quick break for a message from our partners over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Can you believe we survived over 7 months without an NFL game? It's pretty crazy, and boy, are we glad that that's over. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving us a can't-miss offer for the start of the season. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. DraftKings is hooking everyone up with game day greatness. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. Check the app to see what you get. Pretty cool ones recently in terms of the up 10, up early promo, where tokens, where you get your bet cashes if the team that you bet on for a money line play cashes out early. It's kind of nice, especially if your team potentially loses that lead. Anyway, download now and use code SSBT to sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook. New customers can take home $200. Again, $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. Code SSBT only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. This offer is void in Toronto. Please see dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after initial issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. All right, back to the pod here.
And this is a mid-podcast shout-out, but I wanted to make it deep because if you're seriously listening to 40 minutes into this podcast and you're going to start another 40 minutes, I want to just tell you I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I don't know how many of there are of you left. I know for a fact my boy James Murphy listened this far. James Murphy,
I didn't give you that big of a shout out to begin with, so James Murph, you're my boy, and I'll see you around town. G-Baby, if you're listening to this, congrats. Just congrats. You know why I'm saying congrats, so congrats. Okay? Shout out to my boy Lance Legere. Shout out to Drew Holiday on the Celtics. Shout out to Josh Gentile. Shout out to Josh Martin. Josh, if you listen to this shit, I want you to send me a text that says, oh yeah. No context. All right, back to the episode.
Okay, we're back after the brief Steve Talks intermission, which was back. Thank you, Steve, for doing that again. Appreciate that. We were talking Yamamoto, I think, when we left off. It's been like 3 minutes, but I already forgot.
That's the vibe of the Red Sox 2023 season, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Forgettable.
Forgettable, sad, pathetic.
And on that note, I will say, if Josh was here, I know, because we did talk about this a little while ago, he would say, fuck all that, just go trade for Kodai Senga. You already know what he is. You know that the Mets aren't planning on adding anything this year. He might be available if you knock on the door and offer them a prospect or two. He would, he doesn't always have the most rational ideas, but he's always very creative with his wants. We have to give him credit there. And I'm pretty sure Kodai Senga would be at the top of his list. He's a big Senga guy. And it's actually pretty plausible, honestly.
I don't hate that as much as I thought I would when you first said it. I thought, my initial reaction was, why would the Mets do that? And then rebuild, arm history injuries, control issues. But then I think about also how he did this year and how, that's like a legit Cy Young candidate. Like, that'd be interesting. I'm not gonna poo-poo that one, but that's also just because I love Senga, though. Like, how can you not want a guy whose name sounds like Vengabus? Like,
yeah, and has a ghost fork that is not only just another cool name from a new pitch, but like it's actually nasty. It's not a gyro ball. It's like actually a nasty splitter, fork ball, whatever you want to call it.
I wish more people would name their pitches like that. That's badass.
Yeah, fuck all this sweeper nonsense. Give me some cool names for these new slider, curveball, slurve things that are coming out.
Fuck a sweeper. Call it the chimney cleaner.
Yeah. Nah, who's, I agree. Who's the guy coming from Japan in a year or two? The third baseman, first baseman guy?
Oh, God, I'm forgetting that. I know who you're talking about. He was in, like, he had that, like, really long home run in the World Baseball Classic.
Yuna something, right? Yuna
Yamamura?
Something like that. Yeah, he's that guy can hit.
He looked crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of Japanese guys coming over this year because there's that other guy that like showed us something. Who's like the lefty? That's one that I'm wondering if the Sox will pursue also, just because like I mean, if Bloom was still the GM, I would say that's the guy they're going after, just because like he's not the one that people are excited about, but there's something interesting there. But I get kind of, honestly, like you mentioned Keigawa before, like that's kind of the vibes I get a little bit from him. So hopefully not the case, but.
You know what? I'm looking at Senga's contract, by the way. I am all in because I didn't realize this. He has an opt-out after 2025, which if you're the Mets and if you're in a weird influx situation and Senga's still performing, he's probably going to opt out, right? Like, so if you're the Mets, you only have 2 more years of him, then that becomes very tradable. Realistically,
it's really only one more year because they literally told Max Scherzer we're not going to make any additions this offseason. And that is why he wages no trade clause to go to a team that is going to be in playoff contention. So it seems pretty obvious that they're not going to really load up again this offseason. Just saying.
You can't really blame them either.
Yeah, I mean, they invested how much fucking money and nothing. It's just old. Well, I mean, like you sign 40-year-old pitchers and maybe you expect that to happen from, hindsight Henry point of view. But yeah, I mean, I don't blame them. And they kind of redid the front office, give them a year to see it the way they want. And
But if they trade Alonso, just as like the face of the franchise, I don't even love Pete Alonso that much, but like, man, if you're a Mets fan, you're probably already very upset in general, but then you're pushed over the edge if they trade Alonso for just a bunch of prospects and just like, all right, we're not going to pay him, which if you're not going to pay him, I guess, is that the move? I suppose it is, just to get something for him, but that's
just. He'd be a cool Cub though.
He would. The polar bear, the Cub, that'd be pretty cool.
Fits, yeah.
I kind of see that too. Like, did they go into the season with Eric Hosmer as their first baseman or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Moment. Matt Mervis is all right though, right? That's
decent enough prospect. Yeah, maybe. But I mean, you tell me you have a guy who's like a lock for 40, 45 home runs every year. It's kind of like, oh, sorry, fuck them kids, you know?
You're gonna sell a lot of home run derby shirts. That's all I know. Yeah. That's all you get with Pete Alonso.
So if they start doing that tiebreaker where instead of extra innings you go into a home run derby, I mean, then the Pete Alonso stocks just go through the roof.
Also, if like a down year is 220 with 45 home runs, and didn't he miss time this year as well? Like, that's
wild.
Yeah, it's pretty. It was 40, right? Yeah, because he hit 40 home runs again every year in his career so far. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good piece to go get if you're a team that like just missed out kind of and need a first baseman. Like, I don't know, maybe the Reds or the Cubs.
Yeah, especially if Joey Votto's, would be weird seeing Joey Votto play with a team other than the Reds. But yeah, I mean, that would be the Mets are in such an interesting position next year just because they have so many of these short-term contracts they can trade and probably want to get out of, like Omar Narvaez, Jose Quintana, guys like that. It's going to be very interesting to see how they go and do their business.
What's Starling Marte's trade value?
Nothing. I have no idea.
That guy stinks. He's toast.
He had a moment, though. He was back.
In a moment, yeah.
He really was. Where it was
I have to look this up now.
His speed was back. Where he'd like had a couple years of not stealing bases, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, he still can run? Was that last year, though?
Oh, wow. He was back. Yeah, I mean, he stole 24 bases last year, but yeah, he hit like 248, five home runs, 301. Like it wasn't a good, It wasn't a good year.
I'm looking at his career right now, man. I severely overrated him, huh? I thought he was like a power hitter.
Also, he's way older than I thought. He's like, they're going to be 35.
Yeah, he's had a very interesting career. You know who he was? Wasn't he the Jesus Luzardo trade?
Yeah, for the A's.
Yeah, ooh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's what the Marlins won.
Marlins tend to win trades, something I've noticed over the years.
They're on the A's want him.
Why did the A's trade for Marte?
Lizardo, Jesus Lizard.
Yeah, but why though? What was the?
Because they were on the brink of making the playoffs that year.
Yeah,
like was that the 2020 year?
2021.
2020 or 2021.
Yeah,
he was 21 because the Marlins were like bad.
Like him and AJ Puck were both bad for the A's that year, but they like it was their like they just got there.
Yeah,
so right.
Give them a little room to breathe.
Right. They're the big prospects, and they immediately get dealt once they get to the top.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we're all set. Let's give them to the Marlins, who I don't know how to develop pitching.
I will say that rotation was stacked, though. If you like again, Sean Manaea was not what he is now. We know him to be now. I feel like yeah, he's still good. High praise. Frankie Montas was still in the mix.
Yep.
Chris Bassett.
Chris Bassett. Yep. Caprellian like has a moment. He
is Caprellian. Yeah,
that's right.
And it was that was Cole.
They also had Matt Olson and Marcus Semien and
Cole Irvin. John Murphy.
Cole Irvin.
Like I'm pretty sure they still had Jake Diekman then when he had like a good season over there. And the A's had they know. Yeah, it's a shame what's happened over there because they've got good fans too when they're actually good.
Yeah, I feel bad for any team that's going to be moving. Like, my dad was, like, a big-time Expos fan, and he just kind of lost. Like, he doesn't have a passion for any, like, one team anymore. He's like, I like baseball, but I'm not getting invested after that. It just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to low-key go to the Coliseum before they move. I feel like that would be cool to experience. Because when is that? It's the year after next year, correct?
Something like that, yeah. I have a buddy who lives out there, so I'm kind of hoping to, if I get the chance to fly out there, just crash on their couch or something.
And you know the tickets are going to be cheap, or
yeah. Who's going to be going unless it's like the anti-boycott thing again that they're doing?
That was so cool.
That was awesome.
Cool thing.
Yeah, I wonder what the highest price ticket at A's game is.
Like right behind home plate or something. I wonder how it compares to like a minor league game, because I think like the priciest for Worcester is like $42, and those are like the club seats. So I'm curious.
It's
going to
be way cheaper than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious what like the equivalent though. It's like probably like $30 or something. I kind of need to look at this. I mean, because California is like, expensive there.
The Blue Sox consistently sell a good amount of tickets, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I've been there for some sellouts. It's a good crowd they got. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oliver wouldn't know.
Hey.
Neither would I. I'm protesting still.
I told
Steve. Boy forever, Ed. I'm sorry.
I did tell him. I said, Steve, I'll go. We'll go. We can all go. And bullshit, he said, all bastard. Right, we'll go this week. Go look at the text. I said it. And just crickets.
What we'll have to do is just set up a sit down between the Steve Scotts. I think like we've just got to, that's got to be what brings everybody together on that.
Well, yeah. Would you guys go? Gilly, Oliver, would you guys go if Stephen Scott would do a Stephen Scott pod?
Of course.
Stephen Scott on Stephen Scott.
Oh, it's gonna be crazy. That's gonna be. I'm hosting that one.
I hope so.
That's gonna be a good one. Oh my god.
Stephen Scott questions you can handle.
Oh my god. Yeah. What would I ask him?
Does anyone ever ask you about me?
Yeah. You ask him.
You get tagged in my tweet sometimes.
You ever plum before?
Damn. What if it turns out he has like a secret passion for plumbing, and like you guys do a like what's that, like a Freaky Friday sort of thing?
Yeah,
where he gets to experience a day as a plumber, and you get to experience a day as a pro ball player.
That'd be sick. And we find out it's way harder than we both thought.
Like, yeah. Like he's like, oh man, I thought plumbing was going to be easy, and this is difficult. And you're like, oh man, I thought being a pro ball player was going to be easy. It's not.
It's a feel good story. In the end, we decide to change back happily.
Yeah, but you also become best friends through the process.
This is all I ever wanted. Steve Scottception.
Ooh.
Yeah, we need it.
Three layers deep in a dream.
All right. Closing take.
Wait, before we get to closing takes, we have not talked about one name in particular of this offseason, and I want Ed's take on it. Otani. Okay. What's your, I don't know. I'm curious of not just like Red Sox related, but just general predictions. What do you see and what are you hearing?
Oh gosh. So what I'm hearing is that there, at least like the last thing I heard was that he wasn't mentioned in like the preliminary meetings for the Red Sox, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't see how any team would be interested in him. Like, you're getting not just like the biggest name in baseball, you're getting maybe the biggest name in professional sports right now. Like, that you can pay that guy $600 million over like 10 years, and it will make itself back in like a year. Like, that's the return on investment for him would be crazy. So like the financial part of that, like, whatever. No, they have a lot of like left-handed hitters. This is a freaking unicorn, you know. This is Shohei Ohtani. This is a guy that like 6 years into his career is already a first ballot Hall of Famer. The pitching might not be what it was. He's going to be out for a year with that, but you still get to maybe use him as that. So I don't see why like the Red Sox would not be interested. I think like any team with the resources should be making their pitch for it. If there's interest because of like the New Balance connection or whatever, like, hell yeah, go for him. I do think he's going to end up in either LA or San Francisco, though. And that's not necessarily a West Coast connection thing. I don't know how much he actually cares about that. I just think that the Dodgers getting under the luxury tax and kind of letting like Corey Seager and guys like that go kind of points towards them maybe making a move towards him. And with the Giants, they tried to get Aaron Judge last year. They tried to get a few Carlos Correa last year. Nobody landed. So maybe you try to just take all that money you were going to spend on those guys and be just like, screw it, let's get Shohei. So that's my thought there. I would love to see him with, like, can you imagine him like being able to go opposite field with Monster? Like, how cool would that be? He hit 60 doubles.
Yeah,
he really was.
It would be insane. The Giants are also my sleeper team for them. For the Ohtani sweepstakes. So we're on the same page there. I don't think it's really realistic here, but I mean, you know, we can dream.
Yeah. What if he just re-signed with the Angels? Like, what if that happened? He was like, guys, you know what? You tried your best. I appreciate it. You know,
good for them. If they pull that off somehow, good for them. That's because they're a funny, weird, like, situation where they've tried, right? And it's like they've made poor decisions, but they've spent money, and it's been stupid money. Like, the Rendon contract immediately was like, ooh, okay, why would you give that guy that much? Like, they've just thrown money kind of at the wall, and nothing really has stuck. And obviously the Trout health stuff has – no one could have predicted that he would be as banged up as he has been. But I don't know. I kind of feel for the Angels a little bit. And I know they're a mess of an organization for a number of other reasons, but
– yeah, like, it's kind of wild how consistently their moves have just, like, immediately backfired. They had, like, one day where everybody was excited because they traded for, like, Lucas Giolito and CJ Crone and all those guys. And it just, like, 2 days later, like, why did we trade all of our prospects? Like, what, like, we're going to give these guys that we just traded for away.
Well, look how far it goes back, too. It goes back to Josh Hamilton, CJ Wilson, and Albert Pujols. And it just doesn't stop. It's not for a lack of trying. It's just, like, you think after, I don't know, the third 31-year-old that they signed to a big contract, they would stop. But no, they just kept shelling out money to 31, 32-year-old guys after a couple of good years.
If there's any team being the exception,
It's funny as a fan how you can tell who's not going to be good too. Like, immediately you know, like, okay, they just fucked out everything up. Like, that was...
It's those guys that, like, come out of really nowhere with, like, that like, 2 good years, and you're like, oh, well, we got to go pay this guy. It's like,
yeah. Do
we have to pay, like, Anthony Rendon, really? Like, do we have to pay that guy? He was, like, fine. And then he was really good. He was an all-star.
But he had, like, that was, like, his one outlier, too, of just, like, even just health-wise, like, right?
Yeah. The health was the issue with him, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even from a fantasy perspective, I looked into it, like, early-ish in his career, but when he was like, ooh, this guy's really good. And then you look back, and I don't think he played like half a game. There's a certain percentage, but he had not done it since like his second year at Rice. I just remember looking into his college stats and be like, holy shit, this guy is never healthy. This is not like a fluky thing. Like, and it's unfortunate for him, but at least he got his paycheck.
Yeah, he got his World Series too. So, you know, like, I don't feel bad for Anthony Rendon. You know, he's done fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Otani to either. I like that. Dodgers, or you mean LA in general? LA in general, San Fran, probably the.
Yeah. Something like that.
Options. I like it. Cool.
Sweet. All right. Closing take. I don't have a topic, but.
Greatest. Any video game you're looking forward to, Ed, at all?
Oh, wow. It's funny, I don't play that many video games anymore. I replay the same old games over and over and over again. Like, I have an N64, and I play, like, a lot of, like, Star Fox and stuff like that.
Cool.
Just to, like, speed run and, like, that kind of thing. With that being said, we did try to put a Switch on the registry for my wedding that's coming up, and Ooh. We weren't able to get it, but we're gonna put a little bit of the money aside to get that. I'm planning on getting planning on getting back into Smash Brothers and getting the new Zelda game that came out that my friend's been playing, like, what's it, Tears of the Kingdom or something like that.
Oh yeah,
I've heard like really good things about that. So Cope, I was a big Ocarina of Time person. So, yeah, I'd say, like, that, or, you know, like, I like Pokemon. Those would probably...
Can
like...
run through the Ocarina of Time on the Switch again, just because.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's a game that has a ton of replay value. I like Final Fantasy VII a lot, but I also don't want to buy, like a PS4 just so I can play that. Like, and, like, have the game end, like, at the end of Midgar and, like, have to wait for the next one to come out. Like, I think I'm waiting until, like, that whole, like, remake is done and I can just play it all through at once. But you can tell exactly how old I am based on which games I'm
playing. What is, okay, follow-up question, your favorite N64 game, then?
Favorite N64 game? That's Star Fox 64, yeah. I also like Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey. That game was a blast.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys played it.
Like, arcade sports games back on those systems, like NFL Blitz, like, those things just... timeless.
Laws of physics don't matter, setting the goal on fire because you shot the puck so hard does. Like, it's just fun, you know? Like, it makes – I got, like, way more into baseball just from, like, Ken Griffey Jr. baseball. Like, I learned about hockey from that game. Like, it's – that was some good stuff, but Star Fox is the one that I always go back to. As like a birthday present last year, a buddy of mine got me this like Japanese wood print that has like all of the Star Fox characters, like the animals as like samurai, like floating around on clouds. Like it's, I'm at my parents' house tonight, so like I don't have it here, but I'd show you guys that if I was next time when I record from home, I'll have to show you guys because it's like
that sounds cool.
It's pretty awesome. Trying to think like what other, I mean like Mario Kart's fun, like there's a lot of good stuff on that. I like Pokemon Snap, that was a fun game.
Oh Josh, it's a big Josh game.
Big Pokemon. Yeah, you got like Steve, you do Pokemon, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Except for the last one, the latest one I did not play. I played the first like little bit. I was like, I just don't have the time for this, and I never got back into it. But prior to that, everything right up the ranks.
Yeah, no, I like that stuff too. I was like really into Pokemon, and I like still do Pokemon Go to like an extent, like not as much as I was like a year ago, but you know, like it's good.
Oh yeah, what's
your favorite Pokemon game?
Go here and there.
What was that?
What was your favorite Pokemon game?
Silver version.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah, Silver. I'd love for there to be like this like big like open world like World of Warcraft style thing where like the whole Pokemon universe is available. But I like that there were like 16 gyms and they combined like Kanto and Johto and all of that
stuff.
That was just fun.
I can't believe they've only done that one time.
I know.
Right? It seems really obvious like that you just like should be able to access all that stuff. Like I want to know what Brock is up to like 16 years later or however long it's been. Like what's, does that guy have a family now? Like what's going on there?
Definitely.
Oh
he,
yeah, Brock.
He probably got divorced multiple times, multiple baby mamas. Remember he was like, he would see like Nurse Joy.
A horny guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, Brock was very horny.
So oh my god, he never wanted Misty though. He never wanted a piece of Misty. What was up with that?
Misty was too young for him. He liked like Brock was into his MILFs, you know.
Yeah,
good point. He was into the MILFs. Yeah, Nurse Jenny, Nurse Joy,
and working women, professional women.
Yeah.
By the way, why was Nurse Joy and whatever, they were all, there's a million of them, but they're all the same, like.
Was that like a cloning thing just gone horribly wrong? Like, are they a species of Pokemon themselves? Like that? That's a good question. Ooh. I have no idea what was going on there.
No one ever asked that. Good question. Interesting. But yeah, maybe they are. Maybe they're all Dittos.
Yeah, that could make sense.
Imagine that.
Wow.
That learned English.
Like just like hyper intelligent Dittos. Like
that would be something.
Maybe that's what Brock likes about them. They can take on any form he wants.
Whoa. Think about the That's
yeah, the ramifications of that, like entirely of Dittos, just kind of.
Dittos look AI. Like, when you think about it, like anything could happen from a Ditto.
The AI Pokemon.
That's crazy. Dude, how fast would the world end if Dittos were like, or any Pokemon was real?
I mean, depends on the Pokemon, I think, like. Yeah, like people would be pretty into like Taurus, like they just eat them or something. But like, some of like these bird Pokemon or like Porygon going into your computer and like fucking shit up, like
Porygon's fucking up your internet.
Or like in some of the later games, like I'm not as into the later games as the earlier ones, but like they're like sentient ice creams and shit and that.
Got weird with the.
Yeah, pile of sand.
There's literally just like a keychain too. Like there's the ideas ran dry there, I think.
Yeah, you can only do so many things with that until like you just start running out of them.
Yeah.
What do you think would be the most good tasting Pokemon?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Gotta be Pidgey.
Pidgey probably can't.
I always think so. I was going Taurus.
Taurus, I mean, Taurus looks good. I bet you, like, honestly, like, Pidgey what's nuggets. The one that, like, almost got hunted to extinction or something? I feel like there's one of those.
Farfetch.
Yeah, Farfetch. I bet you those probably taste pretty good. Like, that probably tastes like duck or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a duck.
I'm going to Lickitung. Yeah, what about Lickitung?
I don't know. I think whale blubber.
Tongue of Lickitung? That's like a delicacy?
Oh, that's definitely a delicacy.
Yeah, or one of the, maybe like a sea king. Nice. Meaty fish,
yeah,
I hate to say it because they're cute, but like slowpoke.
Yeah.
Ooh, like wasn't like Team Rocket like capturing them and selling their tails to like for people to eat? Like
that's true.
Yeah.
How do I remember that? Wow.
Remember there was Slow Bro and then there was Slow King?
Yeah, Slow King
slow
was
poke, Slow Bro, Slow King. Slow King.
the alternate forms of them too, where like one of them had like a cannon on his arm or something. Like there was some like pretty out there stuff.
Remember the Slow King like castle in the game? You had to like go through that. It's like, why is Slow King a big Pokemon right now? Or I mean Slowpoke, all them. Remember that?
Yeah, like I don't really know why they were as popular as they were, because they like weren't like you weren't seeing them on the covers of games or anything, but they always seemed like they were pretty involved with stuff.
Right.
Even I was always a little disappointed that the show didn't like. Yeah.
I don't know. What's going on with that?
Or Psyduck?
Oh, that Psyduck, delicious. I thought Golduck was badass. I always thought Golduck looked really cool.
Yeah, Golduck looks sick.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Starter in the first game, like which one would you always pick in the original?
Oh, I would always go Squirtle.
You were Squirtle.
Nope. I was Bulbasaur.
Now, Charmander guy, ironically enough. Charizard forever.
Charizard's awesome, but honestly, I've never met another Bulbasaur person, so this is very exciting for me.
Yeah, we're a rare breed.
Yeah,
I was like, never Bulbasaur. Never in my life did I go grass to start. Never.
I stopped doing it later on, but just for that one, for some reason. Like Venusaur was where I was at.
Yeah. Completely useless after like the halfway point of the game, but you just found a way.
I mean, for that first rock and water gyms, like things were pretty good.
Living high life, cracking open a beer.
Things were awesome.
Then things get tough when you can't kill anything else in the rest of the game.
No, and like you're like entirely dependent on just poisoning things for like that being useful.
Yeah, and now you're like, oh, I guess I'll throw out this level 6 Pidgey that I've just been neglecting, and the okay, I'm dead now. Builds character though.
Have you guys ever done the thing where you like do? Oh, I forget the rule of it, but like it's got a name where if your Pokemon faints, it's done, and you have to like.
I know what you're talking about. It's like it died. Like you're playing it actually died.
Yeah. Like the hardest way to play it, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's a little too sweaty for me.
Yeah, that I don't think I would enjoy playing that because I like
it's stressful. Yeah,
yeah. Like I'd be just like, oh no, this Pokemon is dead now. Like I caused it to die by keeping it in too long. That's too much pressure.
Brutal.
And man, but I mean, you are kind of doing like professional like dog fighting with these. So like, I mean, you got to think like realistically. That might be what's happening here.
The repercussions.
Have you heard that theory about that? Like, Ash accidentally murdered Gary's Raticate.
No.
Because so like in the original game, Gary has a Raticate or Blue or whatever you're gonna call him. He has a Raticate. And then you go into Lavender Town and like Gary's there mourning something and you get into a fight with him. He's all pissed off. He doesn't have the Raticate anymore.
Huh. Damn.
What happened to it?
You never battle him again with the Raticate. Hmm.
And it's Lavender Town. So that's like where like Pokemon Cemetery is.
He's bragging about getting the Cubone. Interesting.
Remember that music in Lavender Town? Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom.
Apparently, you guys do, yeah.
Yeah, that shit was
creepy ass music. That's good Halloween music, though.
Yeah, imagine having a Halloween party, doom, doom, and then you have like the smoke and shit. It was kind of it was just weird. Lavender Town was weird. Like four buildings.
It was pretty creepy. Like there's some good creepy pastas about Lavender Town out there. Mm. Which is actually where I found out about the Raticate thing, and then I realized, like, oh, that actually isn't an urban legend. That's just, like, in the game.
Hey, do you remember that song? I'm on the road to
Viridian City. Yeah. They play that whole Pokemon jukebox. Like, those were all earworms. Like, they had, like, the theme and, like, that was...
It was like a fucking, like, it was like an R&B song.
Yeah, it was a banger, man.
What was the other one? To be a master, Pokemon master. Remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there was. I had the CD. There was a whole CD of these songs.
give me another song.
I mean, there was the theme song, like the "I Want to Be the Fairy Bell." Like, that song is like that's a classic.
How about do you want to be a master of Pokemon? Do you have the skills
to be number one? I don't know, it's crazy. Like, I remember watching this stuff because that was like the Orange Islands arc was when they were doing that one.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen that since I was in like the fourth grade, and yet I can remember like all of the lyrics to it. It's freaking weird.
Wait, how about this one? Armanite, slow poke. Da-na-na. Catch him, catch him. Gotta catch him all. Gotta catch
cruel Aerodactyl. Slow, bro. Pigeon, Arbok. That's all, folks.
Wow. They just catch him, catch him. Gotta catch
him all. Gotta catch him all. Pokemon.
That's a shared memory right there. That's crazy.
That is a time. What year did you graduate high school?
2011.
Oh, wow. So I'm 4 years older than you. I was still class of 2007, and I still remember that stuff.
That's crazy. Julie Oliver, do you remember that shit?
Those songs? No, I don't remember those songs.
Not all of them, no.
Dude, I'm not a fucking nerd, guys. Come on.
Where are you hearing these songs, though?
I put in a lot of hours into those games, but no, I don't know the songs.
Oh, no, this is the TV show.
Yeah,
this is the TV show.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I wasn't, you know.
Yeah. The show would end, and then like the credits would play, and it'd start playing those songs. Like, oh man, there were so many jams. There were so many fucking jams. Hold on, I'm looking at this.
Oh man, so I gotta bounce, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you coming by one more time. Where can the people find you on what was formerly known as Twitter.com?
On the website formerly known as Twitter.com, you can find me at EdHand89. Check out my new podcast with by Andrew Parker called To the Show We Go. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You guys, like, seriously, these are always like I look forward to these. Anytime you want me on, just let me know.
Always a pleasure. Appreciate you coming by. Go get some sleep.
Appreciate it.
Real quick,
you
Ed,
guys
do you,
too.
Ed, do you remember that song that had like there was a song that I forgot what I think it was, like My Best Friend, and then like Ash and all the Pokemon come together and they hug at the end of the song?
I remember which one you're talking about. That's not one that I'd be able to sing, but I know which one you're talking about because they played them at the end of every episode. It was like Pokemon karaoke with a Pokemon themed song.
I'm gonna get that song. I'm gonna send it to you after this.
Please do. I will listen to it and enjoy the fuck out of my fiance.
I have a feeling it might be our outro for this pod.
Yes. Or the intro. But watch out.
Or both.
Yeah. Let's go.
All right. Thank you, I'll see you guys later.
All right. See ya. That was just another classic episode with the one and only Ed Hand. You guys got any closing takes before we call it? I'm tired. I'm ready to go to sleep. I got to get up early, too. So, parting words.
This is the last podcast of my 20s, so peace out. Tend to be old with Joshy.
Damn, it's fucked up.
Off into the 30s paradise. It's coming for you next, Gilly.
I don't want it.
I've mentally checked out of being 20. It's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
I'm gonna go puke and die. But all in right. The meantime, see you on the
all
other
right.
Side.
All right.
Shout out Mac Jones. We believe.
Well, yeah, we got to get to that. But boy, oh boy. Remember, real quick, remember a few weeks ago, Gilly, when it was me and Josh and we were running through all these quarterbacks who we'd rather have, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we might need to revisit that because
I think we're gonna start saying yes a whole lot quicker. We're gonna Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett could be a maybe now.
Kenny Pickett made a game winning throw. Like, that's true. One thing Mac Jones hasn't done.
That's true. Oh,
Desmond Ritter just had a game winning drive touchdown. Mac Jones hasn't done it.
You know what? We were quick to judge Matt Patricia. That's my closing take.
I tweeted that yesterday.
I tweeted that word.
I said maybe Matty P wasn't the problem.
Like maybe
because
obviously we're kind of trolling a little bit, but like maybe he wasn't as bad as it felt.
Maybe. All right. Yeah. We'll get to that more next week, I'm sure. All right. See ya.
Yeah. You know who it is.
true host. I'm hoping you skipped the entire podcast and came to the end to hear this. Your boy's back. The one true host. I missed a couple weeks, but you can never keep the one true host away from the pod too long. James Murph, been so patient. You still listen to this podcast. You're insane. Certified psychopath. Shout out to my boy Alex Fava. Didn't even give him a mid-podcast shout out. So if you're listening to this far, Fava, hit me up on Snapchat. I think I'll drop dead. I haven't been around. I haven't been talking too much. I went to a Nebraska football game a couple weeks ago with my girlfriend. Had a great time. Nebraska's got some of the best fans. This is coming from a Buckeye fan. Nebraska, awesome state. Love it. Yeah, this is my last podcast before I turn 30. And I gotta be honest with you, I never thought I'd make it this far. Like, life-wise. Like, I don't think I'm that big of a success or anything. I just think that I can't believe I'm 30. Like, I didn't think I'd live that long. That's all. But here I am. Thanks to y'all. SSPT saved my life, bro. Shout out to my boy Will Tondo. Shout out to my boy Jake Zimmer, House Enterprise. Shout out to DraftKings. They actually sent us some money, so that's pretty sick. You know, we'll keep rolling with this podcast till we die. I remember saying that shit when we were like 24 years old. Dude, we've been doing this for a long ass time now. We tried quitting, all of us. We've all tried quitting at one point. Was not allowed to happen. Too much inertia, too much effort. And will we ever get famous? Probably not. But in the off chance we do, word, I wonder if they're going to go back and listen to all these pods that we ever did. Everybody's even keel except me popping off. Everyone's smart, nice. They got the crazy guy at the end just talking shit. This is the whole fun of the podcast for me, right here, talking shit with my homies, talking to myself, like a complete jackass. I love y'all. Thank you so much for listening to this fucking podcast. You make it worth it, for real. And one last time, from my 20s, all the way into my 30s, Happy New Year, y'all. Fuck Mick.